Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm not following your line of question.
Welcome back to another episode of Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Crow Pod. Of course, brought to you by our friends, thefamousheadwear.co.uk and blueroomart.co.uk. I have picked two winners for this month already, but we're giving away a hell of a lot more stuff. So if you go down, just help out the show, click the Buy Me a Coffee link or go to support.thecopelandroad.org. If you give me some money and say, hey, Shane, I like you enough to contribute to your efforts in the world, then maybe you get to win some stuff from them. So it's not bad. Plus, Crow Scarf, don't forget, it's Friday. You got two more days to pre-order Crow Scarf. Get your scarf. Get your scarf. Danny has not gotten his scarf yet, but I still keep inviting him back. I'm not sure why. It's sad, desperate times here on the Crow Pod. How you doing, buddy?
I'm alive. safe to say,
I'll tell you what, man. Rangers Thursdays, man. That's it's not a good mix for starting the weekend.
No. My Friday morning has been vastly unproductive. So, and yeah, it was all worth it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, obviously a very comfortable 45 minutes and a not so comfortable second 45 yesterday. As I told our friend Scott Semple down there in Hong Kong, it was like a sniffer on a bad weekend session, because we were about 6 hard inches away from sealing the deal before halftime. And this comes back to the fitness levels, right? I mean, obviously he asked them to go out and press like motherfuckers from the start, and it worked, but they were all fucking gassed after 50 minutes. I mean, just dead on their feet. And
I think it was a combination of that. And Sparta actually came out in the second half and upped the intensity, which was non-existent from
them. They took that Gomez off.
That would help. That's like taking the hammers off. You might actually have 11 men in the pitch.
Fucking hell. I love too that their response to getting rinsed at Ibrox is to go into a huddle. You know, you gotta read the room on that one.
That and their manager having a laugh and a cuddle with Todd Cantwell after the game. Between that and the smiling referee, I think Masons are abound between Italy and the Czech Republic. So.
Oh man, I think honestly my favorite two highlights of the match were Tavernier and Goldson. Clearly got on the WhatsApp with Kamara Wednesday night and told him like, hey, would you mind running through a couple of these fuckers? And it's sad that, you know, of course we're going to miss Goldson now for the Cypriot whatever fucks, but I think even with Suter apparently not being healthy, we should still be able to see them out now that we have a competent manager in place.
If there was ever any time for him to serve his suspension, it's for this game.
For the sake of, I mean, like, he looked like Ronnie Lott coming across the middle on a receiver and just cleaned them out. It was fucking awesome. And the cunt was offside, dude. It just makes it all the better.
See, I think it should be like FIFA, not that play that nonsense anymore, but it should be like FIFA where if you wipe somebody out after the whistle's gone, it doesn't count. That should be a UEFA rule.
It's like the classic John Madden football thing. You just wait till the play's over and keep tackling comes. It's again, I mean, we're still in this thing where like watching the football was enjoyable. And I think, you know, one of the things I pointed out last night, the biggest difference to me so far in this era of brilliant Rangers football is there hasn't been a bomb scare moment under Phil.
Yeah, even
like
even
like they switched off for the goal last night, and it was the usual suspects. I mean, it was Barisic and Goldson who both just went, "Oh fuck, we still have to defend."
It was the left. Shit. It was the left side of defense again, just leaving a man in acres of space, which is probably more so Borna's fault than anybody else. But it's still
happy birthday, Borna, by the way.
Yeah.
Loyal Crowpod listener.
I'm sure he listens with great intrigue. No, and I don't know what it is with him, but it was also very funny with Phil in, I think, the 7th minute of added time, screaming at Borna once again for shit lateral passes. It's a joy to watch him in the touchline at the moment, just screaming at people.
He's like, I mean, he's got that little bit of mentalist in him, and it's just enough.
He's a Bond villain. He's got a scar above his eye and everything. It's fantastic.
I need like Nick or somebody to get a picture of him in Struce's office stroking a white cat. you know, I hate saying it, Lammers. No, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say off the ball, he was decent, but that doesn't negate the fact that you're playing as a number 10 and sent three balls into row Z in very short succession there. Like,
there was quite a few plays where he was in a good area with possession and had options in front of him and could have quite easily set up an attack with one fairly simple pass.
Yeah,
and I think on two or three occasions he had that, and every single time passed a square ball to the opposition defender.
Well, and even on Cantwell's goal, like, he made the dumbest run that you possibly could have in that situation. I think I almost think it's what made Cantwell go, like, take the shot. He was like, you're going to do that? Fine, fuck this, I'll do it myself.
I think it was one of those things that actually worked, but it was a complete accident. Because their defenders followed him, and I don't know why, because he could quite easily leave that guy unmarked for 90 minutes and he would still do nothing.
Yeah. it's weird. We've been waiting for it, but Europa League John Lundstrom is alive again. I have no expectations of him doing anything on a Sunday, but for some reason, we've got Thursday John Lundstrom back, which coupled with Thursday Ryan Jack is a pretty good combination out there in the middle of the park.
Yeah, they're both playing well at the same time, which I can't remember the last time that happened, other than on the run to a European final.
Yeah.
I loved the Twitter montage that I can't remember the guy that tweeted it. Go find it for yourself. But it's just a bunch of like clips of like, I can't remember the footballers. It's like peak 90s, early 2000s footballers just sprinting around to the Europa League theme tune. And it was captioned something like Lundstrom Europa League Thursdays or something. He just transforms into a completely different footballer. I don't understand him. He's still not very good, but he played pretty well.
Look, again, if he wants to do it on Thursday nights at Ibrox, that's fine. Go ahead. At least we're getting something for the £40,000 a week. I mean, it's... Oh, man.
The only scary thing there, though, is that if he plays well enough because his contract's up at the end of the season...
Yeah, they're going to give him a new deal. See, that's what we're gonna fuck ourselves into that one somehow.
Even at a reduced wage, it would still be ridiculous. I don't think he's going to take a £10,000 a week drop just to stay, but who knows.
Well, you know, off the park, it's been a fun week around Scottish football, too. We're going to get... The second half of the show here, we're going to take some time to talk about our favorite person at Rangers. But the Aberdeen ticket allocation saga, I always love when Dave Cormack gets drunk and gets on Twitter. I mean, it's just fucking great. And apparently Alan Burrows is just bitching to the BBC about everything these days. Like, it's fucking crazy. Well, and we're seeing it with Breton now, too. Like, all it takes is 5 good matches from Rangers and everybody in Scottish football loses their fucking minds. Like, it is just immediately breaks all of them.
Yeah, it's the one thing that'll never change. It's death taxes and Sevco for these people. Just utter moon howling nonsense. Anytime we start doing well, you see that on Sunday. God. you see not on Sunday. Yeah. I do know what day of the week is. You see not on Sunday post match. It was just finding anything and everything to complain about. Referees winking or goodness knows what else. Who cares? Smiling, winking, who cares? I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, still one in the same. It might as well.
They just carried over through this shit. But, you know, like one. Fine, whatever. Again, my easy solution to the 50-50 allocation split is make them pay for the tickets up front.
Yeah.
And then they would never say another fucking word again because they know they're never going to fucking sell them. Well, I love, too, like one of the first responses to Cormac's tweet about how him and Alan Burrows have been discussing this was some cunt asking them to like offset the price of the tickets. We need more. Pay for ours, though.
I would quite like to see them have to pay up front for both semi-final and final allocations and then fail to sell them and then just have to start giving them away.
We don't need to look back very far. It was 6 years ago in their semi-final against Morton that Hampden had 16,000 people in it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got 150% of your season ticket sale uptake available. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas we get roughly 50%. Well, I don't know, 55%, whatever the hell it is. So shut the fuck up. You're never going to sell them. We get the whole North Stand and that doesn't look good on TV. You know what doesn't look good on TV is the fact that your grounds are fucking empty every fucking week. Thank God it's not actually on television because you guys legislated and signed such a shitty fucking television contract that no one gets to see it. Worry about that. Not this shit every fucking other year that you have to play us in the cup final.
It still comes back to them having their priorities in all the wrong places. It's just all about complaining about where Rangers sit in the Scottish power dynamic when in actual fact we've got fuck all power.
They're sitting there bitching about the... Like, you're bitching about the SPFL board making this decision. Who elected the board of the SPFL? You fuckwit God. Just window-licking nonsense as far as the fucking eye can see. Every single one of them. And then you've got the water carriers out here now, whether, you know, of course, our good hearts golfists there carrying water for them, or people like... Brendan Rodgers is actually making a good point about VAR. No, he said that. Was he making this point about VAR when it took 2.5 minutes to strike off Roof's goal earlier this year? Mm-hmm. No, he fucking wasn't. So shut the fuck up about it.
But that's the hilarious thing. It's quite ironic that they're willing to listen to anybody other than Rangers when it comes to these things. So it's fine that Rodgers is talking about this and bringing it up. Oh, he's making a good point. Well, if we made any kind of furore around that disallowed goal, this would be an entirely different conversation. We'd be the paranoid lot. We'd be the ones.
Oh, no, I'd one of them jump into my fucking mentions on Twitter like, oh, you still can't get over a goal that was rightly disallowed. Like, no, you grossly misread this fucking situation, man.
Oh, God. They're a wild bunch, especially that lot up north. I grew up there. Thankfully, I didn't pick up the accent due to my...
you couldn't see it to pick it up?
having two parents from the west of Scotland really helps. Stops you sounding like a fucking trooper. But really, they are the most deluded bunch on the entire planet.
That's fucking crazy.
I grew up with them all primarily supporting Liverpool or Manchester United before they would ever go to an Aberdeen game. And then if Aberdeen somehow got a good result one day, they'd be their number one fans. They are in a completely different world of their own. And every opinion they should have, every opinion they have should be immediately invalidated.
Well, it's all right. They get to do their quad annual 11 with the Timbs this weekend. So that'll lift everybody's spirits. Them getting humped 5-0 will just really make everybody feel better for a minute. God, you know, also similar to Goldson getting to absolutely murder a guy who was offside. Maeda being injured while collecting a red card has got to be one of the moments of the fucking season. although, like every injury report to come out of Celtic Park, I'm taking it with a grain of salt until I actually see him not play, because famously, everyone on their team is hurt at any given time.
And then makes a miraculous recovery. Oh,
yes.
It's not quite Paul Lambert knocking his own teeth out by fouling somebody else at the same time.
Neil Lennon headbutting Alan Shepard's shoe, you know, that kind of thing.
You mean Alan Shearer?
Shane. Alan Shearer, Jesus Christ. No, I mean the NASA astronaut, Alan Shepard.
Same guy.
I was watching From the Earth to the Moon earlier, and now I've got that stuck in my fucking head. Oh, man. Me and Danny aren't hungover, folks, and we're definitely not going to take a break to recalibrate and come back and talk about what happened off the park this week at Rangers. Because, once again, for everything going well right now, it always clouds the fact that everything happening behind the scenes is a shit show. Thankfully, the manager is actually calling it out every chance he gets on the microphone, but we still need to, you know, be alert to that. So we're gonna come back and talk about the fans forum that people weren't allowed to actually cover in real time. Oh fuck! So quick break. Back with more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, welcome back to part two of Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Crow Pod, our second episode this week. Same productive. I haven't done a second in news, but that's because I wanted someone to talk to about the stuff that we're going to talk about now, because the fan forum, which should have some hilarious outcomes of people driving for 5 hours away only being but past that, was everything that you would have expected. They could have just done a fucking press release to say all the shit that they were going to say. Yeah. There was no point in getting all these people at Edmonton House on a weeknight. And beyond that, it came out, I mean, it was a David Murray's greatest hits record of just like the only thing they didn't get to was the casino. That was it.
No casinos, no hotels. So really, That kind of sums it up, Shane. It could have quite easily been a press release, but the idea of it is to be seen to be doing something productive.
Yeah,
because that's all they've been doing in recent times is making sure they do enough to cover their own arses. Because it looks,
you got to pay optics, for that Bentley somehow, you know.
Yeah, the optics really are just, oh well, we did have an open forum, we did have like a CEO Q&A or whatever you want to call these things. So the CEO is accessible, and you know he's quite clearly upping the fan engagement. Therefore, but that doesn't really work if nothing out of this is actionable. And plans to redevelop Ibrox to have 8,000 to 10,000 more seats is not an actionable thing.
I want to say again, Bisgrove, too. This is like the third time he's done this with the seats thing. He still cannot get the fucking numbers right. Like, it's a bullshit idea that we know is not going to happen regardless. But at least get the fucking basics of your nonsense correct. It's like, we're going to add 8,000 to 10,000 seats to both. So you're going to tear down two stands and rotate the pitch? Because that's the only way that would ever fit. What the fuck are you talking about? That's why I hate to... This was my problem with them not allowing like real-time coverage of shit, right? Because again, you know, I think Stevie Clifford said, you know, like they weren't allowing media in. Saying that one aside, I don't give a shit. I don't want to get into the ethics of how the fuck you go about this stuff. But the easiest follow-up question to him running his mouth about this stuff is, what the fuck are you talking about? And no one asked him.
No. Because they've also spoken about the cantilever idea to sort of readjust those two ends at Ibrox after they put in the disabled seating areas, which I'd be shocked if even that happens. So really,
didn't the Dutch side try doing that and the ground collapsed? Like,
I vaguely remember that. And that was at the front of the stand, I think, rather than midway up the stand. But it's just another example of them when things are going good or things are going bad, they just roll out whatever soundbite they can appease people with. I think if things weren't good on the pitch, given recent events, if they came out and said something like this, it would not be well observed. I think it was quite easy to come out and give people false hope over something while we're playing well. But really, this isn't a Bisgrove thing. And I know how much I like to say that I fucking hate the guy. But
he's a symptom of...
Exactly. He's a symptom, not a cause, in the same way that Beale and Ross like Wilson...
He's the spots on your back you get from fucking hookers, right? That's all he is.
That's one way to put it. no, he's...
Crowbot contains language and themes which may not be suitable for him.
Oh, goodness. He really is a symptom rather than a cause. It could be anybody in that position right now, and it could still be the same nonsense going on. We had it with Robertson beforehand, but now this year is... 7 years since we got back up to the top flight. Everybody that came in to turn the club around in 2016 should no longer really be there or having a say in what's going on, because none of them were particularly qualified. King aside, maybe, but 7 years later, we're still looking at the executive leadership team and thinking they're just completely out of their depth.
One of them brought the player trading model, right? In which none of you should ever have those three words come out of your fucking mouth after John Bennett said we didn't have one in place until fucking 16 months ago. But now, again, Bennett said we have one in place. They were talking about the fact that we're still developing a player. God! I mean, it is absolute fucking bullshit. See, and this is like, bullshit is a specific terminology for stuff, right? Bullshit is when you just say stuff for the sake of fucking saying it, and it's not vindictive or evil or off-putting or gaslighting or anything like that. It's just bullshit. And that's what all of them do every single fucking time they talk.
Yeah. If you can't put a time frame on when a technical director is going to be appointed to sort out the main operation of the business, please don't start talking about expanding the stadium.
Well, it's imminent. Days or weeks or months or next year. Fuck knows when.
Even if we could afford it, you're just diverting more money away from a major problem that needs fixed, because that squad is still a shambles, even if we achieve something this season.
Clermont
deserves a better squad.
This is the thing, too, that the lack of learning moments that they take on board, right? The fact that we spunked all this money on Edmondson House to host great events like a CEO fans forum. It went 200% over budget and took 2.5 years longer than you said it was going to, right? And that's an infrastructure project that doesn't develop anything for the actual core business of the company. And now you're going to talk about doing this shit in this economic climate that you can't possibly fucking do in the first place, because there's no logistical way to fucking do it. The only thing you can never do is fill in the corners, right? Just shut the fuck up. Stop acting like you're going to do anything else. That's it. You're not going to add two more tiers to the fucking Broomlin. Okay. Shut the fuck up about this stuff. But again, you cannot be spending this kind of money on infrastructure projects and shit like this now anyway. You just did this and it fucked up and you still haven't explained where the £6.5 million hole that you've acknowledged actually went. Where is that fucking money?
All of it is, yeah, I get an intended purpose. It's supposed to improve the commercial side of the business, and I think that they overcompensate on that because they are so unbelievably ill-equipped to handle anything football related. The only way they can look good is if they do that. But the thing with Edmundston House as well is the reason that it was rushed through, while economic factors should dictate that it should have been shelved.
Yeah, while construction
was because it was supposed
skyrocketing
to be,
out of fucking control.
Yeah, it was like, supposed to be the
literally
same.
The price of timber is shooting up 800% week over week. Now let's keep building this thing.
It was supposed to be the centerpiece for the 150th anniversary, wasn't it? And there was fuck all else around it. So when that time came around and we didn't have Edmundston House to show for it, every other thing around it was just awful. That is still just an absolute disgrace that the 150th year anniversary celebrations were so lackluster.
Oh, it was a couple flag raisings and like giving away. Yeah.
And then the UBs had to do a proper display, and I'm pretty sure they were posting up pictures as if they were taking credit for it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I said on Twitter the other day, there's like an alternate bizarro Rangers universe where they actually paid Ross Hendry the money that he wanted. And the 150th anniversary worked, and we're not having the CEO lay this kind of shit on us because, again, like he's got to look productive. He's like that cunt that everybody has one in their office. The guy doesn't do shit, but every time you walk past his cubicle, looks like he's got like 9 spreadsheets open. You know, like just what are you doing? No, this is bullshit. It's so fucking maddening to sit there and see, because they know what they're going to do, because not everybody looks at this shit the same way we do, like, looks at the benefit of the company and how we run our business overall, and fucking, like, big everything, right? They just see the soundbite, and that's exactly what they want. They want the random punter who doesn't give a fuck to see that and go, oh, yeah, we should expand this. It's, no! No, like, you're going to fucking give Mygeris points for merchandise? You guys can't ship a shirt to somebody within 6 months. And you're going to give Mygeris points to people for buying shit off the shop now? Like, that doesn't impact me. Look, I get points for RTV, but you know, which is whatever. You guys can't get the fucking sales side right and you know, execution of the shop. And now you're going to add this thing to it too? What the fuck? Again, my question, my follow-up question to everything that was said would be, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, well, at least kind of qualify those statements and how it's going to be achieved, because otherwise
they can't.
All they're trying to do is button, you know, they think we button up the back. It's as simple as that. If they think they can come out with stuff like that and pass it off as absolute fact, and it's going to be just the next greatest thing that we do, they really do take the support for granted in that regard. And that's not surprising from a guy that, while he was commercial marketing director at Rangers, consistently failed to understand his consumer on a regular basis. Never mind Australia friendly, which is its own fuck up in its own right, that should have seen people leave their jobs.
I mean, what, we gave Paul Murray £100,000 for an app that, does anybody remember that one? Anybody remember that or what it did at all? No, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
But where's that money at?
It's just a money pit. It's ridiculous because we were pushing, what, close to, if not over, £100 million in turnover the year that we had 2 record player sales and a European final and Champions League qualification. And yet we just leak money left, right, and centre on a regular basis because the whole operation is so wildly inefficient. You know, get the, like I said earlier, get the main function of the business, the football department, to actually be on a level that is acceptable. We should be selling we should be selling 2-3 players across a couple of windows each season that pulls in at least, you know, 10 to 15, maybe £20 million. And then maybe you can justify vanity projects to make yourself look good and have all these fucking KPIs ticked off as the CEO, because that's all he cares about. And it's one thing not having a Rangers guy involved. I'm quite averse to thinking that's the solution to everything.
No, I don't care. I want a competent CEO. Just like
competency first.
I don't care who the fuck the manager is or whether or not he played for us. I want the best person available.
Right? Yeah. And that's been the common theme across the club, whether it be Bisgrove, whether it be Gio, whether it be Beal, whether it be Wilson, or any other company they've hired in recent times. They've not went through the proper recruitment processes to find the right person for the job. You interview all of the best candidates that apply for the role. You even do whatever kind of sourcing work you have to do to identify these people. And then you pick the one that is actually going to be the best at his job.
Yeah.
We didn't bother even once across. So all of those positions are crucial to the business. The CEO, the director of football, sporting director, whatever you wanted to call him, and several first team managers. Even with Gio and Beal, it was like, we'll kind of flirt with other people and pretend that we've got an extensive shortlist. In actual fact, there was nobody else that was ever in the running for those jobs.
Extensive shortlist.
Yeah. And then this year,
that's how you end up with the shit with Phil. Where, like, they come out, you know, we went through this full-on recruitment. Bullshit. You guys wanted to hire Lampard and freaked out when you saw all of us go, what the fuck are you doing? And then you actually went through the process of actually interviewing competent fucking candidates, not some guy that's a fucking name, right? It worked once with Gerrard. Fine. Doesn't mean it's going to work. And we know with him it won't work again because he's a shit fucking manager. Yeah, I mean, like, it'd be different if Lampard had some track record of success. But he's just an idiot. Most footballers are dumb and don't have good ideas about things. He falls into that category.
Yeah. And I don't think our previous two managers were particularly football smart, which was a surprise with Gio because we all expected a bit different. But yeah, at least he had some sort of demonstrable success with Feyenoord. He actually won trophies, but... still, it's still the same lazy processes and the exact same reason why they didn't, you know, they should have emptied Ross Wilson after the third failed transfer window that was already setting us back, you know, into reverse gear before we got anywhere near Beal being appointed.
Yeah.
And by the way, if we're talking about Ross Wilson... was he not involved in the process to some extent? Because I'm pretty sure he and Bisgrove were quite close. So still speaking to the same wrong people to speak to.
Yes.
And still making mistakes.
I most of the time I still think he has decent enough ideas to be on television, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's his role. But then, you know, again, this is the consultant that the board went to who came out today and said, if you think the goal in the Arsenal game the other day was a goal, you don't know the game. What the fuck are you talking about?
I think that's the title for this episode, Shane.
I think so too. It is fucking mind-boggling. And again, you will see it immediately. You know, you saw it. Fuck, you saw it before the thing on Tuesday, right? You saw it leading up to the fan forum. Like, I think he's doing a really good job. What indication have you had at anything in his time that Bisgrove has done a good job? The fact that look at what we were doing in the commercial department, but we didn't have one before. No. So if you're comparing him to fuck all, yes, he's done an acceptable level to literally ripping copper out of the fucking walls like the people were before him, right? Robbing the club blind on its face, he's done a better job. That's not the marker, and that's not the expectation that we should have as fans and shareholders of what the fuck this club should be.
No, it's definitely not the benchmark. The thing is, my thing with always complaining about, whether it be Bisgrove, Robertson, Wilson, whoever's been in that kind of director position in the last couple of years, really we should have all came out of 2012 thinking, what is this football club going to do now? It's had so many problems in the past. It's been just pissing money away on mediocrity for the most part. while still being wildly successful, which goodness knows how that worked, probably just 80s, 90s and early 2000s stuff, right? Yeah. But, you know, going into this kind of modern era of football, we really had an opportunity. Going into the 2010s and 2020s, looking at the way elite football is shifting and seeing that Rangers need to adapt to that because we don't have a good TV deal. We don't have guaranteed Champions League football every year. The commercial side of the business was only just recovering from where it was. So really, what do we do to be that self-sustainable model that they want to talk about so much but never implement? Where is that? It's been far too long that we're still waiting on that. We don't have any major assets within the team at present. On evidence, ideally you would have the likes of Raskin or whoever that is going to be the next £20 million player. I just don't see it. And then we're back to square one because we don't have the infrastructure to support more spend in the transfer window and finally rebuilding the squad. Really, that's going to, in my view, that should now come from investors because there's no other source of funding for it. And which comes back to the problem that they're just not willing to do that. So are they willing to spend money on expanding the stadium or do that and actually get the business back to where it should be?
No.
I have massive doubts.
Well, that's it right there. You were not effectively, we can't put this any more clear, and I can't keep saying this more than I fucking have. They're not effectively running the business to generate the revenue that they need to do the bullshit that they think is important. Right, the important thing with the football club is the football, right? That's it. If you guys want to settle for being Manchester United, then we've got the perfect fucking group of people in charge right now.
Exactly what it is.
These cunts are no better than the fuckers that they replaced at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. And you know, for again, the thing with the fans, I mean, that was some Easdale ass shit. Don't cover this in real time. We don't want people to know what the fuck. What the fuck is that? I mean, what sort of fucking North Korea ass fucking nonsense? Because you know, see, and the thing is too, because I know they're gonna say stupid shit, like the fact Bisgrove thinks we can add 20,000 seats to the goddamn ground. Because again, even in his made up scenario, he can't get the facts right. It's fucking mind boggling. This is not acceptable at any level, from the board down through the entire execcom. The only thing that's working right now is the football management, and that's only working at half speed because we don't have a sporting director.
And you just know that that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and replicate what they did with Gerrard after King left, where he was the sole leader in the organization. There was nobody else there with any leadership quality.
No,
so they just left it to him. And as long as things were good on the pitch, as long as we were winning the title or qualifying for Europe, that's all that mattered. Yep. And then everything else gets neglected. So this is why you're probably going to have a football club that wins one title in fucking 5-10 years rather than sustained success. Because I said in the previous week, Shane, it's not about the next trophy. It's not about the League Cup. It's about the next 3 to 5. And how do you support a manager to actually achieve that?
Well, this is a scary thing, too, because, you know, assuming we win our next Europa League qualifier, right, the next group stage game, then they can sit there on their fucking hands and say, you know, maybe we don't need to spend money in January. Mm-hmm. And they gladly fucking will. They gladly will.
Well, do we not remember Gio's first transfer window?
Yeah.
When they panicked late in the window because we had a couple of bad results, and then we signed Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
It has that kind of feel to it. It could easily go that way again.
It's the fucking rainmaker thing, right? I can't repeat this shit. When it doesn't rain, it's because it's not supposed to yet. And when it does, it's because they made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That is the entire operation of how these fuckers work. And it's not acceptable. It's not sustainable. It will lead us into a fucking another decade of absolute hell. And you can't stress this. I'm sorry. If you are still okay with what they're doing, you better fucking be okay with 10 in a row. And you better be okay with them overtaking the trophy haul. Because that's where this ends up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no other outcome besides that. Because it's not like fucking Aberdeen is suddenly going to jump up and start taking trophies off of them. No. Either we do it or no one fucking does.
Gerard warned them. He said, fix the roof while the sun is shining. didn't he?
Yeah.
And that was
and then they literally fixed the roof instead of investing in the football squad.
Yeah, yeah.
Which needed to be done, that's fine.
Yeah, the reason that Gerrard said that was because he just won a title and he just wanted to continue being successful.
To win titles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And instead, they didn't back him. They didn't give him anything. He said, either give me money or I'm walking, and they tried to call him his bluff, and he told him to fuck off. I don't think Gerrard ever wanted to go to Villa, right? I think Gerrard's whole career plan was stay at Rangers until Liverpool came calling.
Yeah, I mean, his contract
it's kind of fucked his career, but that was it.
Yeah,
you know,
his contract was in line with the length of contract that Klopp was getting.
Yep,
you know, that
wasn't a mistake.
No, no. Villa, I think Villa was still an appealing thing to him because what's his face was there, the ex Liverpool director of football. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I think that made it appealing. Plus the fact that the owners are relatively wealthy.
Yeah.
Comparative to Premier League teams. So I think he was always willing to take it. But yeah, if he was backed at Rangers, I think his decision would have been a lot more difficult. But
anyway.
Do they fuck bother?
No. What the fuck are you guys doing? Can't answer. Won't answer. What, it's not even that they can't. They won't. They'll do the same fucking lip service bullshit because being accountable, not possible. And again, it's part of the thing, you know, me and David talked about this on Tuesday, right? I'm not going to fault him or Stevie Clifford or any of these other fucking guys or fan media guys because most of them have never worked in the media. I did this for a long time. I've asked hard questions of people. They would never want to sit down with fucking me for an interview. And, you know, honestly, I'll put it, I don't give a shit. Bisgrove, whoever, somebody in the fucking finance, somebody in the exec con, board members, whatever. You want to do a real fucking interview with fan media? Come fucking talk to me.
It should be you and Ross Hendry that sits down and has a conversation with Bisgrove and actually have somebody that knows what they're fucking talking about. You know, maybe we can actually pick holes in what he's trying to do at Rangers.
You know, I'll tell you what the fuck I'll even give Bisgrove an advantage. I'll even give Bisgrove the advantage. Me and Hendry will get high as fuck before we do it.
And
just to give him a fighting chance.
No, it could be in any setting. I think if he was challenged by somebody competent, and that's been the issue fundamentally at Rangers for the longest time, there's zero accountability. So having somebody question what Ross Wilson, what the fuck he was up to, Bisgrove, what the fuck is he up to, and where's the strategy? Where's your plan for where we're going here? Because none of it is evident.
It's checking off boxes on KPI list. That's it.
He spoke relatively well when he first came in the summer, that first interview that he did. And it's you know, the communication's been very sparse since, but any time he has, he's looked it looks like he's just going to wobble and fucking lose the plot. He really struggled when Clement came in and he had to speak to the press on that day as well. Just an absolute shambles. And again, my problem isn't directly with him. It's with the lack of accountability overall at the organisation. And that's going to continue to be a problem, you said.
No, I mean, again, he's a symptom, right? Mm. He's an easily curable symptom, but he's still a symptom. Until you fix everything else going on behind it, it doesn't fucking matter. You know, I mean, geez, you could bring in fucking, I was going to say Richard Branson, but that's just crazy shit. It doesn't fucking matter. You can bring in anybody to be the fucking CEO. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because you still got jackasses behind. You still got fucking, you know, Park's kid calling up fucking Kenny Miller on a fucking Tuesday asking his opinion about shit. Like,
Why is he involved in any process at the club? Never mind the fact that he was involved in the process of hiring the new manager.
Yeah.
What about him? What about him has any qualifying criteria to be involved in that process?
Well, and that was similarly, Bisgrove was talking about how, you know, the football board is a bit. What are you talking about? You were just saying shit and hoping that people swallowed up, and they did because that was the way you set up the fans. But I hope the fucking AGM is a nightmare. It should be, right? Problem is we're playing well, and we know how that fucking works out.
It should be. It should be. Every question should be a tough question at that AGM. It shouldn't be people asking about managers or anything. Those kind of things need to be for the CEO platform, ideally, because then those things might actually get resolved. Yeah. Whereas a lot of those issues, the smaller issues around the club that all add up, tend to get left, left to the side as if they're not really a problem. Whereas the major stuff kind of gets talked about, but nothing ever really happens. And that's where the AGM should be where they're held to account. Because ultimately, the board of directors and the executive management team should be answering to shareholders.
Yeah.
What are they doing with their investment? I found it really baffling. Was it last year that what's his name? The guy from Asia again.
Oh,
that one.
Yeah. We're great with names here, people.
Yeah. I promise this is all to do with the hangover, not my lack of knowledge. fuck! What's his fucking name?
Don't anyway, fucking worry. Yeah, about-
who cares? He had a public appearance last year, didn't he? I can't even remember who interviewed him. But they sat down and had a conversation. And he seemed pretty happy about where his investment was going. And that was in the midst of, I think, when Bennett gave his speech about how great the squad is off the back of being pumped 4-0 twice in 1 week.
Yeah.
John
Bennett's only interview.
Yeah. That's the thing. When they do speak, they sound completely out of their depth, so you never hear from them ever again. It's just that the CEO is in a position where he has to be the front-facing character in the whole organisation. But yeah, that's the most worrying thing, that investors don't see how poorly run the club is.
Well,
that's where the buck stopped.
I've got updated odds here, brought to you by the famous headwear.co.uk and blueroomart.co.uk. 7-5 on Bisgrove announcing a craft dining bubble in the corner down between the enclosure and the Copeland there. So
at 1,400 quid a table.
Oh fuck, it'd be a lot funnier if we knew he wasn't gonna fucking do it, because he will 100% yeah. That's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Next step is the Falkirk hot tub.
that's the worrying thing. What is the next fuck up they can come up with, rather than, like we said earlier, what can they actually do to set things in motion to start fixing the main operation of the business?
This is part of it too, and I hate this shit. Again, with the stadium expansion, you're talking about like 200,000 to 300,000 pounds of engineering work you need to do before you even begin to think about talking about doing it. Have we done that? I highly fucking doubt it.
No.
Again,
no.
You're at this point. If you're at the age, ask them. Show me that you've actually done the grab. Like, you're going to come out here and say this shit to try to placate people. Show me that you've actually paid for an engineer to come in and do the work, and an architect to show you what the fuck it would actually cost. Because that alone is a couple hundred thousand pounds of work, right?
Even just prove to us how cost effective it is. Tell us how many more season tickets you'll be able to sell and what that will bring in versus the overall cost of it. You would think that would be the first thing that you would mention if he was going to mention it at all, but no.
No, 8,000 to 10,000 seats, whatever.
Just that big round number. It doesn't have to be anything specific.
No.
Everybody
will
lap it up.
Yep. Works every time. 60% of the time, it works every time.
And we thought we were great getting rid of David Murray.
Like I said, man, you could that everything that come out of that Q&A fucking this week, you could just print it off fucking front pages of the Sun from 1999 to 2006. It was everything that was in there, with the exception of I'm waiting for the Formula Super League team to be fucking announced. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're doing the same fucking shit. And if you can't see it, or if you don't want to see it, again, the end result of all this is them getting the 56 before us and them overtaking the trophy ball. That's the only outcome. If this stuff isn't fixed now.
Yeah, minus all of the asset stripping, it might as well be Charles Green standing up there talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Same shit.
It's all the same stuff that we've been used to for decades now, and people probably need to start getting wise to it.
Yeah.
Because as you say, Shane, nothing's going to change otherwise.
You've still got cunts online. They'll be, remember how bad everything... Yes, but 2012 was fucking 11 years ago, buddy. And again, we've had two record player sales, made a European final, made shit tons of money that they have. They can't be accountable for. They won't tell us where it's again. John Bennett in his one interview. I'm going to keep hammering this shit because nobody has gotten the answer. Said we have £6.5 million that we really don't know where the fuck it is. And no one has gotten the answer on that. No one.
Oh,
it's highly fucking frustrating. So again, anyone in the exec comm or board or whatever, and I'm not going to give you the fucking questions beforehand. I'm not sending you a goddamn email with the 15 questions I'm going to ask you. Come do a fucking interview with me. And you know what? Like you said, maybe I can drag Henry out of his fucking pot and do stupor because he's a guy who's actually run companies well in his career, was good enough for Rangers. They just didn't want to fucking pay him, right? I'll try to drag him out too, and you can come sit down with us and explain what the fuck you're doing because you haven't done it, and you're not going to start until somebody actually holds you up to it.
Well, see another thing, Shane, but we should probably touch on this because it has been simultaneous to everything else that's happening on the pitch. It's been quite interesting what's happening on the other side of the city. Normally, I wouldn't care, but the fact that they want to eat themselves alive over some geopolitical crisis is just top tier banner.
Is the thing. This is why what we've been talking about is so fucking important right now. There's three things that we have to do. We have to win the League Cup. We have to at least keep even with them leading into December 30th, right? And we have to have some money to support the squad in January.
Yeah.
Because the wheels are about to fucking fall off of that thing over there again. Yeah.
But my point is,
we didn't take advantage of it last time. When Gerard cut the head off of that fucking thing, we didn't capitalize on it. And it's not going to come around. Like, you don't get these chances all the time. They are fucking on the brink of a complete meltdown again for the second time in 3 years. It's not going to keep happening.
That was the thing with Gerrard's time as well. When we won the title, they were at such a low point where they were
their manager quit before he got to see Gerrard win the title. Lawell walked away, like, you know, at least in operative theory. I mean, they were a complete fucking clusterfuck.
Yeah, all of that was an opportunity to capitalize and start being the dominant team.
We had to overrun the budget on Edmonton House by 200 fucking percent. You know, that was more important.
Yeah. If another opportunity comes up to do that while they're in another mire, if they have such a split between the club and the fans, if that bleeds into the manager, the management or the dressing room or anything.
Rodgers is losing his fucking mind again. I mean, we can see that every time he does a fucking interview. I mean, he's delusional. He's full-on delusional Breton again. He's going to be talking about fucking fans coming up and talking to him in the Clyde Tunnel or somebody breaking into his house. Somebody's going to break into his house in the middle of the night and be like, I agree with you about VAR. That's going to be his next fucking interview. I mean, it's just fucking rambling-ass nonsense, and that's everything coming out. And, like, you've got the Green Brigade issuing statements saying that statements aren't worth issuing. Like, that's where they're at right now. And we have to take advantage of that. We missed the opportunity in 21, right?
Yeah.
Again, you don't get a lot of these. Mm. And if we want to recapitalize and get back to the spot where we're supposed to be, we have to do it now. Because, again, if not, if we miss it again, they will end up to 56 before us. They will overhaul the trophy hall. It's going to happen. This isn't an if situation anymore. It will happen.
Yeah, and just look ahead to January. What are you going to do? Are you really going to come out and give the manager two key players that he probably needs to uplift the performance levels to his standards? Or are you just going to maybe give him the wiggle room to offload one or two and bring one in that doesn't really make a difference? And
we're going to find we're going to find another this season's Aaron Ramsey.
We were crying out for it in the summer. It wasn't just a rebuild. It was also finding several key players and new leaders for the group because we lost the old leadership group as well as an abundance of quality for next to nothing. So that restructuring had to be far more significant than anybody would have ever been able to, you know, put into scope. And it's going to be the same for the next few windows. We have more players, senior players that are on an awful lot of money coming up to the end of their contract within the next, nine to 18 months or something. And that's another opportunity to shed some weight and figure things out. But all of that still requires a technical director to lead it. But we don't put timescales on that, because why would you?
No, that doesn't look good on a KPI checklist. So
no,
because that's something you can actually be held accountable for. Whereas just saying random shit in a fucking meeting every couple of times a year, you know that.
Well, it's the fear for them appointing another guy that's probably going to cost an awful lot of money on an annual salary plus bonuses, as well as the fear of getting it wrong. They their number one issue in recent years is indecision by fear. Their inaction over the past two managers to get rid of them when they should have, as well as the previous sporting director. A lot of that just came down to them not wanting to make the difficult decision. Yeah. Because, like you said, that holds them to account. Their actions are the thing that we'll measure them by.
Well, and also every other pound that goes out to somebody competent comes out of their fucking bonus pool. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how are you going to afford another Bentley when you got to hire a sporting director that's going to take 10% of your fucking bonus?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite something when people go through, like I said earlier, the events of 2012, you come out the other end of it idolizing highly paid executives, you know, money that comes primarily from the support
goes
into their pocket. Yeah, and we don't want to hold them to account. We just want to, you know, it's as if James Bisgrove is the next wonder kid that's come through the academy, and we all think he's great. He's not. No. He's the number one person in the organization that you should be asking very serious questions of.
Yes, and again, and you know what? And I hate, look, everybody in an organization is fucking. James Tavernier is ultimately replaceable, right? And will be at some point. And you can accept that as a football supporter, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have to accept that with the fuckwits they're in charge of the company right now, because they're not doing their job. And that's our job as shareholders, is to run them the fuck out.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do it. You know, you got to put pressure on the key, the legacy share, you know, these big blocks, fucking whatever, get rid of them. You know, it was the only thing. Look, Dave King had his faults. I'm not going to fucking sit here and defend everything he ever did, because he fucked shit up too. But if Dave King was in the boardroom on a day-to-day basis right now, we wouldn't be having this bullshit. I don't think
we'd be where we need to be, but I think we would have made far, far fewer mistakes that we have done in recent years if he was still around. And that's not, again, that's like you're saying, that's not pining for him.
No,
it's just acknowledging the fact that he and Gerard were the only two leaders at the club. One left, the other remained. Yeah. And they put the whole burden on a manager that no longer wanted to be there because they wouldn't fucking listen to him.
Yeah.
Maybe the manager, you know, the manager should probably have a port of call for the executive leadership that he can trust. And Phil doesn't seem the type to suffer fools lightly. And I would quite like to see what happens when the inevitable happens. I don't want to see it either, but it's more than likely that he's going to find himself in a position where he has to question the leadership above him because he's probably not going to get what he wants.
I just want to point out, too, if you're one of the people, which is all of us, that's willing to, you know, like, look, we can all sit here and laugh at Martin Bain and what a fucking failure he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? In hindsight, but we're watching that happen in real time, and nobody's questioning this fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are literally doing the same shit again, right? How many times do we have to go through this? I don't get it.
I understand some of the apathy that kicks in where people don't want to get involved absolutely. In this stuff. We shouldn't still be here. We shouldn't still have to be dealing with these things, and that does create apathy. But at the same time,
well, they rely on the apathy. Repeating. I mean,
exactly. They very much feed off of that. But like I've been saying repeatedly, we should not have came through the events of 2012 in this position. No. 7 years after we got back up to the top flight, never mind everything else that we went through post 2012. 2016 should have been the mark where we start to see building things in the right direction and building for a situation where we were still recovering from all those past events, as well as acknowledging the fact that Celtic are so far ahead of us financially, and yet we still have that Arden. We still have that problem in front of us.
We play knockout football in Europe every year. We record player sales, all this shit. Where's the where is the fucking money? Where is it gone? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to answer it, and nobody's pressing them to. So, like I said, again, any of you fuckers want to come and talk to me, by all means, I'm fucking here. I please sit down, interview. We'll do it right here. Everybody can listen to it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like I said, with Crow Scarf pre-orders going on through Sunday. Go check them out. It's down there in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to wherever you find your ear hole content right now. And yeah, Danny will be back sometime next week. Thanks again, buddy. Danny, of course, you can find on Twitter. Don't, though. But you can find him on Twitter at DJ _1872. But don't. But you can.
Definitely don't do that. I'm too hungover to deal with it today. Oh, please leave me alone.
I'm straight back down the pub. The second I get this show out, cold shower, out of here. That's it. So... No, that's I'll be back. Probably do some secondhand news on Monday. We'll be back with Big Show Tuesday, and me and Danny will be back sometime, at least once next week, if not a couple times. So, you know, as long as we're, look, 0 days since our last nonsense, we've always got shit to talk about. So we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
I mean, you can't be fucking serious at all.